You're listening to Irish Sports Talk. Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 475, and it is Monday, August 13th. I'm here with Randall, and we're talking Notre Dame football. Randall, how are you today?
I'm doing good.
We don't have a ton of other topics. Last week, we talked a little bit about the Urban and Ohio State situation. Today is going to be talking about, we're going to be talking about Notre Dame football 100%. And I guess let's jump in. Before we get to the position groups, let's jump in and talk about ESPN's chances of Notre Dame getting into the playoff, which is really high. And really, Notre Dame's been getting a lot of love this year as far as where people are expecting Notre Dame to finish the season. But what are the chances that ESPN gave Notre Dame to make it to the college football playoff?
Well, first of all, as far as you're saying they're getting a lot of love, in the past that hasn't been good for Notre Dame. But I do feel a little more confident in the love this year. But ESPN's playoff predictor has Notre Dame at a 42% chance to make the playoffs and then a 10% chance to make the title game. So the highest is Clemson, actually, at 67%, and then Alabama, 47%, Georgia, 46%, Washington's under Notre Dame, 41%, Ohio State, 37%. So Clemson is by far the highest percentage, but Notre Dame's right there with Alabama, Georgia, Washington, Ohio State. So I guess we'll see. The thing is, some of those sites, which actually was Sports Illustrated, did you see that one article, or there were comments about Notre Dame that one of the Sports Illustrated guys wrote? It's kind of funny, just some of the things he said. I have to go back and look at it again, but one of the things was, you know, this defense is led by Nick Coleman, and there were some other things. It was pretty interesting. So sometimes their facts and the things they know.
But Brian Kelly did say Nick Coleman is having his best fall camp.
Maybe that's what they heard. So
hopefully everyone's having their best fall camp to date.
That's true. That's very true.
And even that, you know, that can be interpreted so many different ways. It can be health-wise, he's healthiest he's been, healthiest fall camp. It can be with competition. You know, there's not maybe, which in his case, it is not related to competition because there is more competition than there was last year at his position.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, Notre Dame did, Brian Kelly did give the guys off on Wednesday. It was supposed to be, that was actually going to be open to the media on Wednesday, but they had changed that, and then Brian Kelly came in and announced to the team that they had the day off, and there was videos going around of them celebrating that. And they actually brought in a magician, and I think a lot of them playing Call of Duty, too, because Brian Kelly mentioned that they were still, next morning, that they might have still had their minds on their Call of Duty. So they had a day off. There was a lot of videos on social media of the magician, and they were pretty in awe of that, which it was pretty impressive, some of the stuff. I've seen some of the stuff before, but still. But the one thing he did was unlock guys' phones without knowing their passcode. I'm not sure. I didn't see enough how he actually, he'd like wave his hands over or something. I don't know. He unlocked their phones. So, kind of creepy.
Scary stuff.
But yeah, so they did do that. And then, Sunday they also had the BK Open, their golf outing that they do every year. Didn't hear a whole lot from that, but they are putting, you know, do have some time off. You hear the players talk about how there's not a whole lot of time off, that they have to be somewhere at all times, it seems like, but they're putting in work and they're also getting rewarded for it.
So let's talk about the different position groups. Let's start with quarterback. You know, a little bit of maybe controversy with that, with Brandon Wimbush not having the greatest practice a few days ago. Does that concern you, or is it one practice and he's still the best quarterback for Notre Dame this year?
Well, I still go back to the saying that the backup quarterback is the best quarterback on the team. Brandon Wimbush didn't have the one practice. He didn't look his best in warm-ups. It seemed pretty simple. It was just in warm-ups, and his throws were off, and the short throws he was having issues with last year during the games, he was off completely. And So, of course, everybody's just reporting on that. Well, everybody just freaks out and thinks that it's time to move to Ian Book and whatever. But then, you know, in the team, when it came to 7-on-7, 11-on-11, he completed most of his passes. So who knows what it is. Was he just not paying enough attention to the practice, just the warm-ups? Thinking about it, I was kind of like, you know what? All we hear about Brandon Winwood, when we hear about how good he is, we say, well, we got to wait till game time to actually see it. Well, you should look at it the same way with the bad. We got to wait till game time to see it, actually.
I like that.
When it's bad, everybody just wants to jump in and say, oh, next guy. When it's good, we got to see it on the field.
Yeah.
So I think we should give him – it's not always going to look good.
I like that, and I agree with you. I still think he gives Notre Dame the best chance at winning the most games this year. And yeah, let's see what happens against Michigan and moving forward.
Yeah, but he did, you know, have it down. Brian Kelly did talk about it, you know, that he's got to do better moving the offense. And, of course, you know, if you do have a bad season, it's hard to come back from that. I mean, it's the same way with the 4-8 season. I mean, we heard all about that, and Brian Kelly had to prove it, that he could do better than that and make changes. And Brandon Wimbush has got to prove as well. But we all know that if Ian Book came in and started, then Dracovic would be the best quarterback. And once he's ready to start, or in people's minds, I would say. Once he's there, you're going to have the next guy. And so that's always how it is. But you do want to see better, but they're going to have down days as well. And we don't see nearly all the practices, so maybe they did it on purpose just to. But that is something. I mean, the thing is, it's the mental part. Ryan Kelly talked about it again. It's the mental part of Wimbush's game that he's got to.
Well, and he talked about those short throws where it needs to be. He can't think about making those throws. Those just need to happen automatic.
Yeah.
And if he's thinking about it, it'll either slow down his delivery. Or sometimes the delivery won't be right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the running backs. Brian Kelly.
I'll say this. Dracovic, in the practice, the media side, Dracovic got basically no reps at quarterback. So you settled that. If Wimbush isn't going to be playing, Book's coming in to play.
Yeah. But did you ever question that?
No, I didn't. But I think there's a lot of people out there that are hoping that Dracovic gets his work in because he's the next big thing.
Well, I do think he's the next big thing, but I don't think he shouldn't be coming in and getting meaningful playing time. He needs to come in as a backup and play four games and maintain his red shirt, but still come in and play four games.
Yeah. I think he's going to be really, really good. There he goes saying the backup quarterback, talking about the backup quarterback.
Backup quarterback.
Exactly. But I could almost see, you know, wait another 2 years and he comes in and plays and does really good. They're going to be like, well, why didn't they start him a year ago? Why didn't they start him 2 years ago? But there is something to waiting a year, getting to know the system. There's a difference between, like, a freshman. That's why I always got irritated about the Johnny Manziel thing. He was not a freshman. He was not a freshman winning the Heisman. It was his second year in the program. There is a difference. And what you want is a guy to sit there for a year or two, learn the offense, learn everything, learn from the guys that have been doing it for a while, and then come in and be good so that you don't have that first year where they struggle.
Well, there's still always going to be that first year where they struggle.
Which, by the way, I put it on our group message, but did you know that Brady Quinn's first year, he didn't start all year, but his completion percentage was lower than what Brandon Wimbush was last year.
But, Randall, he was a true freshman.
I know.
And he didn't have an insanely awesome offensive line or the running game either.
I know. I'm just saying, you forget about it.
Yeah.
Nobody would have get. I wouldn't have remembered that about Brady Quinn.
I knew it was bad because I remember the games, but I wouldn't have thought it was under, what was it? Was it 45%?
I believe so.
I would have thought it was.
But my point was, we don't remember that. All we remember about Brady Quinn, what a great player and passer he was. Mm-hmm. And obviously things can change. So.
All right, let's talk about the running backs. Brian Kelly said that Jafar Armstrong reminds him of Theo Riddick, a guy that can catch the ball, run tough between the tackles, but still be able to run receiver routes and catch the football. He wasn't saying that he is Theo Riddick yet, but he's that kind of a player.
It's the closest thing he's had to Theo Riddick. So you mentioned Procise, you know, had the speed, was able to run, but he didn't bang inside like Jafar does.
Do you think then that Jafar, out of the two running backs that have been converted with
Avery Davis
and Jafar, do you think that Jafar is one that is going to get the bulk of the reps?
Oh, definitely. He's built a lot more like a running back. Avery Davis still looks more like a receiver. I think Jafar, you know, at first, like, oh, it's a converted guy, but once you think about the other guys that were converted, you know.
Well, Procise was converted.
I think he has the opportunity to do a lot at the running back position, and he's looking good doing it. So Avery, Brian Kelly talked about, he had said, you know, maybe 4 to 6. He was asked if Avery would get, you know, 4 to 6 reps per game. Brian Kelly said he's hoping that he could do more than that, but that's kind of where they're at, you know, the 4 to 6 reps per game. With him, I think it would be more of a, you know, maybe he can be a slot guy. There's definitely a higher percentage or bigger percentage chance of it being a pass play when Avery's in there than when mm-hmm. the other guys are in there. And he can also throw the ball.
Or a jet sweep versus running between the tackles.
Yeah. And, you know, he could be involved in a trick play, mm-hmm. throwing the ball downfield. I would honestly like to see that, because
I'm sure we'll see him throw the football when there's another quarterback on the field.
You know, if he's out there with Wimbush, you'll see him throw the ball.
Yeah.
We'll have to watch that.
You don't think so?
I would love to see that.
I'm sure it'll happen.
I would love to see that. So, but yeah, I mean, you have that. You had the possibility of doing that. But, yeah, I mean, the reason I think Jafar has a chance to do a lot is because, yeah, you have Tony Jones. He's a starter, but he's solid, but you're not hearing the raving reports about him either. Like,
hey, I mean, you need more than one solid guy.
Oh, I know, but I'm saying it's not like Josh Adams coming in last year, or it's not like Tony Jones has got everything figured out. I mean, he played hurt last year, and, you know, he's good, but you don't have a 2-3-year guy coming back until Dexter can play, but who knows where it'll be at that point. But running backs do get injuries, and so they need those guys, and I think it's going to work out pretty good with Jafar running back.
I'm definitely excited to see it because I think we'll see some different packages. More, Brian Kelly talked about having two running back sets a little more frequently. And
well, they did that a lot at the start.
They tried to do it last year, but then because of injuries, that fizzled out. Okay, wide receivers.
Michael Young has been banged up a little bit. He's been out, and so they've had some of the younger guys come in, and Brian Kelly keeps talking about Lawrence Keys, and then the converted freshman cornerback, Joe Wilkins. He mentioned Joe Wilkins taking advantage of the Michael Young reps with Young being out. And Brian Kelly basically said that he can help, but he mentioned it as a 4-game stretch that Joe Wilkins could. I mean, obviously they're going to try to keep him for a red shirt, but in 4 games he's going to get a chance to play, and that's kind of surprising. You know, being switching position, going from defense to offense, it's kind of nice seeing
it is because
do as good as he is.
Yeah, because there's not a lot of proven commodities at wide receiver, but there are bodies there.
Yeah. There was, the bad thing is there have been quite a few drops by the receivers in practice, which that happened last year as well in the practice in camp. Another thing I didn't like, there was a play where all the receivers gave up And I think Wimbush got intercepted on that. And it was basically because all the receivers just quit. And that has been the problem with these receivers. Chase Claypool, especially. Since Del Alexander's been
exactly. I mean, the wide receivers played above their recruitment level. I mean, T.J. Jones played better than what he physically should have been playing at. And you had different guys like that stepped up and exceeded my expectations of what they could be and could do. And that has not been the case the last two seasons. I hope I'm proven wrong when it's game time.
I know we talked about it last year that that would probably be the weak link one of the weak links in the coaching staff, and I guess we'll see. But yeah, you got Claypool. Clearly, it takes some work to get him motivated, but still, it can't be as many as receivers are on the roster. It just seems there's every other player is a wide receiver,
and most of them are underclassmen.
Yeah. So the younger guys, Lawrence Keys is a guy, that's been mentioned. Brian Kelly said they need to put an anvil in his back pocket he's smaller. He's got to put on some weight. But, these younger guys will get a chance too. So, not a whole lot else on the receivers.
Tight ends, Alize Mack, according to reports, has been looking great at some times and then not so great at other times.
It sounds like he's still trying to make that Odell Beckham Jr. catch, or he's just... If it's just a simple... He can't get the simple... The pass that should be so easy to make, he drops him or somehow doesn't make the catch. So, he's got it. The hype is still there, so... But you've got these other guys, Cole Kmet, some of these other guys, I don't know, he's not going to have a lot of room. There's other guys take his place if he drops too many passes.
Do you still think he'll be the leading tight end, at the end of the season, the leading tight end with catches?
Oh, boy.
I mean, if you'd go to Vegas, I mean, he'd be favored. Yes. Yeah. I mean, he should be the guy that has the most catches at the end of the season.
Yeah. I honestly could see Kmet beating him out on that.
But you don't think he will? You think it's more likely that Mack...
Yeah.
Okay. So who's your...
He's got to.
Who's going to be the second leading tight receiver out of the tight end group?
Cole Kmet.
Over a Wisher?
I think so.
Oh, wow. Okay,
I know. That's not what I've said before.
It's funny. When these guys were freshmen, Kmet and Brock, I was as high as could be on them. And now that they're sophomores and been a year in the system, I'm not so sure that they'll pass up or that Kmet will pass up Wisher.
When they came in, I didn't expect... They didn't need them as freshmen in my mind. They did play more than what I thought. But I kind of expect them to be good, but they need to wait a year.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right, offensive line... Brian Kelly did talk a little bit about some changes that they're making. He clarified a few things. He did say that Tommy Kramer is the next tackle that's going to be in.
Yeah, well, Hainsey has a lower leg strain, and so he's been out. And so they did actually, that's kind of why they were asked that, because Kramer moved over to the right tackle. And that's why he was asking, if one of the tackles goes down, who's the next tackle? And that would be Kramer. And then with him moving to tackle, that opened up for Josh Lugg and Elijah Taylor to compete at the guard spot. Now, what's interesting with the offensive lineman is that after Kramer at tackle, he was like, then you got Aaron Banks, which we're not surprised by that. We've kind of expected Aaron Banks to be one of the next guys, and there's a lot of hype around him, but he's dealing with some leg issue as well. But then Patterson, freshman, obviously Notre Dame gets good offensive line recruits, but Brian Kelly's been saying he's shown some stuff that Hainsey did last year, and Hainsey played as a true freshman. And so it's kind of a surprise that Patterson is doing that. Who knows if we'll actually see him. But when Brian Kelly is comparing him to Hainsey, Hainsey played as a true freshman. So
and halfway started as a true freshman. I mean, split the starting job.
Yeah, with exactly, Kramer. Exactly. So that's good to see that you got these young guys are basically ahead of where we expect them to be, mm-hmm. where everybody expects them to be. So Brian Kelly did it. They switched it up because of Hainsey being banged up a little bit, but he had said they wanted to do that next week after they had some time with their starting five. I mean, they got their starting five figured out. It's, you know, Hainsey, Kramer, Mustafa, and then Bars and Eichenberg. And then, you know, next week they might switch it up just to see what the guys can do and who'll be the next guys in.
All right, let's move over to defense. Brian Kelly mentioned that he thinks that, I forget what his exact wording was, but because it's the second year with a similar, with the same defense, and because of the consistency of Clark Lea, that the defensive players have really just continued their grasp and mastery of the defense, and was really happy with where the defense is at. As far as position groups, defensive line, and then we'll work our way into the backfield.
Well, defensive line, Jerry Tillery is very, very impressive, and he's not giving up on any plays. It looks like he's going to have that senior year that he needs to have, and it'll be fun to watch to see what he can do with his position switch, because I think he's going to wreak havoc on opposing quarterbacks. And the thing that helps with that is that, like Brian Kelly mentioned, for the first time in a long time, you actually have four defensive ends that are ready to go.
Do you think that at the end of the year, Jerry Tillery, his name will be in the mix as one, like a player that was the most impactful on defense?
Notre Dame?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, but you think it'll be up there with last year? It was clearly Tavon Coney, Drew Tranquil, Julian Love, probably those three guys that were like those three guys just contributed, and this defense would not have been the same without him. Tillery had a really good year and made an impact, but he wasn't, in my opinion, I didn't look at him as that to that level of an impact player. Do you think this year he will?
Well, the stats don't show it for him. The stats didn't show it last year.
Yeah, and they won't show it. He's not going to record.
They'll show it more this year.
But he's not going to record the number of tackles that, you know, your linebackers are going to. But do you still think we'll be looking at him in the backfield, wreaking havoc?
Yeah, he's going to be that guy. He's going to get his fair share of sacks this year, and it's going to help with the guys coming off the edge. You know, just the combination of all, it's going to help everyone, but he is going to be, I believe he's going to be that impact guy on defense.
Okay.
But then with the defensive ends, well, you got Clegg Kareem, and then Ade Ogundiji behind him has really stepped it up and is playing very well. And then you got, obviously, Julian Okoro was actually taking reps with the first team over Dalen Hayes. But there you got guys that the defensive end position has always been a struggle for Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like they actually have it figured out this year. And then as far as inside, Brian Kelly says that Myron Tagovailoa most has had one of the best camps, and everybody talks about how good a shape he's in, and he is very much improved over last year. So the defensive line is looking very good at this point.
I'm still worried about depth on the interior. There's still a question or a concern about depth, but well, not to the level of
Jonathan Bonner, Kurt Heinisch.
Not to the level of last year.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, then linebackers. We kind of touched on this a little bit. And Brian Kelly talked a little bit about how this is not new stuff, but how interchangeable Bilal as the rover. And then a guy like the nickel, Watkins, kind of
Sean Crawford.
Crawford. I mean, a little bit how they'll just go back and forth depending what the offense wants to do, and what kind of offense they're going against. How they'll use one lineup versus the other one?
Well, finally, we got a little more clarity with the Rover. I mean, if it's a a bigger run style team, they'll be playing. It'll be Bilal and then Shane Simon, the freshman, has been doing very well. Jeremiah Wusu has been hurt a little bit and been out, and so he's kind of lost some traction there, which has given Shane Simon a chance to compete. But he is a true freshman. And then when you have to go to your nickel, you got Crawford. And then somebody else behind him would be Nick Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
But Nick Coleman, we can get into it more with the safeties, but his name has come up more with the safeties than it had earlier, or this spring even. But we continue to hear good things about Bo Bauer backing up Coney. It seemed like Jonathan Jones was the guy that had the most experience with her, but Bo Bauer has been doing very well, and it's obviously helped that he was an early enrollee, but... he's been looking good there as a backup, and he just can't, as Brian Kelly mentioned, he's just got to continue to learn the system and mentally get it figured out.
All right, and then talking about the about cornerbacks, is there anything? I guess, yeah, we were talking before the podcast, Troy Pride Jr. He's getting so much hype. I mean, he's getting more hype and love than Notre Dame as a team is getting hype and love when you're just talking about overall teams. Are you at all concerned that it might be overhype, or do you think he'll live up to the hype?
Well, he has the chance to live up to it. He has that ceiling to live up to it, but it's a tall task for him. It's a little surprising to me to see how much love he's getting and how much hype he's getting when he did play last year, and it wasn't always like, hey, he's got to be out there, but, it was always the question is him or, some of the other guys playing. It wasn't like he was a clear-cut guy. I mean, he's taken a huge step. I know that, but all of a sudden, Troy Pride and Julian Love are one of the best cornerback tandems in the country, and we haven't seen that yet.
Well, I'm just saying, Julian Love, I'm sold on Julian.
Totally. But I'm just saying, with Troy Pride, I'm trying to check my expectations, because we also heard about Alize Mack last year and how he was going to be in the NFL this year. I think Troy Pride is further along, much further along than what Alize Mack was. But he's got a tall task. We have to see it out on the field. I mean, he's the clear-cut star. Him and Love are the starters. But he's got to live up to these expectations.
I mean, the last few years, he's played a little bit here and there. He has got some experience, gotten stronger. We know he's fast.
And a lot of it is his speed.
And now he's his second year, with the same defense, with the same coach. Or actually, no, that's not true.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I was seeing the safeties
coach.
Well,
with Terry Joseph. No, he's always been with Todd Light. But
yeah. So...
At some point,
your underclassmen need to grow up and take a step forward, and by all accounts, he's done that.
Yeah, he's looking very well. I'm just trying to... if he does falter a little bit, it's not like he's taking a huge step back. I mean, he's more like we already have him way beyond what we've seen.
How much do you expect Dante Vaughn to play? Because when these guys were freshmen, I thought he was the one... that was going to end up emerging over Pride and Julian Love.
Yeah, well, we keep hearing good things about Dante Vaughn. I mean, he's one of the next guys in. He's a bigger corner, and he's looking good as well. The good thing is I think part of the reason with all the hype is that there's good cornerbacks backing them up. So it's created a good competition. And he's obviously stepped up to it. I think it's a little easier to see for him to actually live up to it, because you can compare him to the other running back. Somebody like Alize Mack, it wasn't like the tight end position wasn't as loaded as what this cornerback group mm-hmm. is. So, but Dante Vaughn is definitely there and to back them up and come in when he needs to.
All right, then at safe.
With Love. Brian Kelly mentioned that they kind of got him back to where he needs to be. Even in the spring, he was all about making the interceptions, but he's finally realized, you know, just do what you're supposed to, and the interception will come to you, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to be the star. It'll happen if you do what you're supposed to. So he stopped worrying about making interceptions.
All right, then at safety.
Well, the big news has been Coleman. It seemed like he was basically out of the safety mix. I know we talked about that a couple weeks ago. He wasn't really even mentioned with the safeties at the start of fall camp. And it was like, well, is he going to be a Rover? Is he going to be a nickel? What is he going to do? But he's had one of the best fall camps and even summers. And everybody is surprised by what he's doing.
And the reason that it surprised me that he was out at safety is because how much Brian Kelly values experience. And he started for a full season. And it was just strange how he was no longer seemed to be considered as a starter for the safeties, or even, well, I think he was always talked about as being in the rotation, or, you know, maybe the next guy in.
Well, you had mentioned one of the, right before fall camp started, you had mentioned him, and then at that point I had said, you know, it looks like he's kind of out of the safety mix.
Mm-hmm.
But he's doing big things, and he has always been one of those stronger or more physical guys. I mean, Brian Kelly said if you talk to Matt Bayless, he's one of his best guys in the weight room. And he is big. In fact, he's very athletic. It's just now he's starting to get the mental part figured out, and all the signals and, you know, everything he needs to do that goes with the safety position. He had the physical tools. Now it's just a matter of knowing when to be at a certain spot, just getting everything figured out, and he's doing a very good job at that. So all of a sudden, he's back in that mix and is one of the – Brian Kelly says he's one of the best safeties there. He says Louis Gilman's coming on, but when he said the guy that's there, it was Nick Coleman. So that's still an interesting situation. You got Gilman – you know, it seemed like maybe Gilman and Elliott were going to be playing, but now that Coleman's there.
Well, and even last year, there was a heavy rotation.
Yeah.
You had Studd still playing, you had Elliott playing. Obviously, you had Coleman.
Well, what's a little bit shocking to me is all the hype that was around Derek Allen coming in, and that has definitely died down.
Well, freshman, it's not easy.
Well, I know. He was... In my opinion, he was one of the more overhyped recruits coming in, that the media had overhyped, because he was, before he showed up, he was basically considered a guy that was going to be starting at the end of the year. At this point, it doesn't quite look like that, and it's, you know, it's more like Houston Griffin, which he switched positions. He switched to the safety position, but the fifth guy that Brian Kelly mentioned at the another guy he meant is Nico Fertitta has been there. I mean, I don't expect him to get a lot of playing time, but he was mentioned before, you know, even Derek Allen and some of the other guys. So, Fertitta was mentioned as a special teams player. Like, he's become much more physical, which he was already. A guy his size, he was already getting called for targeting against USC. So, he already had that, and... his USC workouts are, I guess, are doing him good on the special teams. But
do you think it's more likely that Nico Fertitta records an interception this year, or that he ends up fighting in the UFC?
Records an interception. He's not going to be... Well, yeah.
What do you mean? He couldn't be a fighter?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know anything about the UFC. I don't know what the...
Well, his dad doesn't own it anymore, so...
Yeah, well, so that doesn't mean...
I know. But I think he's more the type... The reason I'm a little hesitant with the interception is because he's more of the type... He's going to take your head off versus getting the interception.
Yeah.
I think he'd much rather come in and get a targeting call than an interception. And, you know, I've talked with him about that, and he said he'd do that again. Like, he was told by the coaches that was not targeting, and he said he'd do the same thing again. But, yeah, definitely the safeties are definitely in a much better position than they were last year. And it seems kind of, you know, almost, it's hard to hear that Elliott and Coleman are all of a sudden the guys stepping up and playing again because we just didn't see enough out of them last year. But some of these other positions, we want to see them. They're supposed to get better in their second year.
Hey,
and if they get better,
quarterback,
they're a better option because they have experience.
Yeah.
So
I expect Chase Claypool to be better. I expect Brandon Wimbush to be better.
Yeah.
All right, special teams. Justin Yoon,
although
he's been very consistent, seems to be taking it to another level.
Well, Brian, because he's pounding it. He mentioned that a couple times. So, yeah, I guess he's up to 55 yards if he needs to. So, which he did have that 49-yarder in the bowl game. But Brian Kelly talked about his focus, or how focused he is, and he said that Yoon was getting ready to kick a long field goal. Brian Kelly was out there yelling and trying to get his attention, saying, "That's too long, you know, move a little bit closer." And Yoon didn't even hear him and kicked it. And Brian Kelly asked him if he heard what he said. He's like, "No, he didn't have a clue." So clearly he's very good at tuning things out.
And then, and obviously, punter Tyler Newsome, fifth-year senior. And then punt return and kickoff return. Punt return, we'll see a familiar face back there. Chris Fink. But then, did I hear Brian Kelly write that Alohi Gilman is the second?
And Coleman, yeah, he said they're back there. Well, he kept mentioning that they've got to get the front 10 guys figured out first before they pay too much attention to the kick return.
But punt return, though. But is Gilman in for both backup punt returner and kickoff returner?
Oh, I was thinking, I'm not even sure.
I thought that he was talking about the backup or the guys that are back there as well as Alohi Gilman. And it just, he's a skilled position player, so I guess, sure.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Brian Kelly, I don't know if that's good or bad that he's saying at this point that's what they got to figure out. But even with kick return, I could maybe see it come down to some of the freshmen. You know, you got like Braden Lindsey. I don't know if you want a freshman back there, though.
Yeah. I mean, until they screw up. But here's a great area to get some kids, burn up some game time, get them out in the field, get them excited about playing Notre Dame football. And, I mean, as long as you don't put that in peril of if you actually do maybe need them for a game or two later in the season and still want to keep that red shirt. But definitely get some freshmen out there.
Well, I want to see something happen. I'm not that excited to see Fink at the punt return, but hey, he's fair catching it, so at least they're not getting the turnovers. But it just seems when Fink is there, which is part of it is the coverage too, the blocking, but
Brian Kelly,
you just weren't
about
getting anywhere with Fink.
He is stronger and can really stick his foot in the ground and get north and south. Brian Kelly said something to that effect. I agree. I'd rather see someone else back there than Fink, but it is true. He hasn't turned the ball over a whole lot.
Yeah.
Although, it's still frustrating when I would much rather see him just call a fair catch than when he doesn't call a fair catch and gets destroyed.
Oh, I know. But the thing that was always better, CJ Sanders, you know, he made some mistakes, but at the same time, there's always when he got the ball, not so much last year, but before it was like, hey, he could break one off. Chris Fink, you know what you're getting. And I think everybody in the nation does.
All right. Anything else?
Hey, remember green out against Michigan. Notre Dame is still pushing it. It's on basically all their pictures that they tweet out or post. So we'll have to see if that happens. But if you're going to the game, wear green.
Would you consider a 75% green to other color ratio a success?
Oh, at Notre Dame?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
That's where I'm at, too. If they get to 75%, I mean, especially when you factor in the amount of Michigan fans who are going to be there, and I'm sure they will make a strong effort to not wear something that is dark or could be confused
luckily,
with green.
Luckily, Michigan doesn't wear red like Georgia does.
Yeah.
Or even Texas in their orange, because in those games in the past, it's been way too much of the opposing team's color in there. And it's going to be even worse. As much as Notre Dame is promoting the green out, it's going to be that much worse if...
They should have promoted a blue out, and then if Michigan fans would have wore their blue, it would have been halfway close to the same color. Maybe wouldn't have been able to tell.
It'll just be... I can almost see a lot of people selling their tickets again, and... Yeah, I don't know. It's just...
Well, Randall...
I don't understand
it. I guess the only thing you can do about it...
I do not understand it.
...is to be one of the fans that goes to buy someone who's trying to sell their Notre Dame tickets. That's how you can be part of the solution.
That's true.
All right.
Still working on it.
It's exciting. Notre Dame football is closer.
We're in the teens.
Closer and closer. If you guys want to talk Notre Dame football, check out the forums. It's free. Forums.irishsportstalk.net. Follow us on Twitter @IrishSportsTalk. Until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.